like I'm isolated. Yeah, George Washington said, don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. Hallelujah. We in the church talk about the second coming when half the world has never heard about the first coming. We have a job to do. Amen? If the commission of an earthly king is considered an honor, how can the commission of our heavenly king be a sacrifice? Hallelujah. I'm just reading a couple of quotes. God was the first ever missionary when in Genesis 3:8 he went out in search of two sinners who had rebelled against him in order to bring them back into fellowship with him. The church should not be known as how many it seats, but how many it sends. And I says, wow. Hallelujah. All right, let's look in the Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And I want to begin reading with verse 1. Lord, help us to hear the Holy Spirit. Help us to hear with hearing ears. Lord, again, I'll provide the vessel. If you'll do the speaking, we can hear and be blessed of you. Hallelujah. Chapter 16, verse 1 of the Gospel of Matthew. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and tested Jesus and asked him if he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And then in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, shall not be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Let me just stop there. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to get into. But one of the things I hear God saying is I think that we in this time need to know the time we're living in. We don't have forever and ever. But we need to be sensitive and say, God, a time is marked. There is a time when the Son of God is coming in the clouds of glory. I believe it will be soon. I don't know when. No man knows the day nor the hour. But I believe that we need to be cognizant. We need to be aware of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming soon. We've got to finish what he has mandated and what he has assigned us to do as believers. In the hours of the setting sun, we need to do things that should have been done in over the years. But God has put us in this last generation, in this end times, to finish what Jesus started. And so I believe that one of the things I hear the Spirit saying is, mark your time. Know the day you're living in. Because you need to put every effort into the hour of the conversion of the lost and then taking the converts and making disciples out of them and activating them and sending them out. Because we got a large work to do. Amen? Hallelujah. That was, you know, just threw that out. Hallelujah. One more thing. Now, with the disciples, before we get to where we're going, now the disciples had to come to the other side, and they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you of little faith, why? Why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand or remember the five loaves which fed the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the seven loaves and the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it? You do not understand that I did not speak concerning the bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The second thing I hear God saying is that in our generation that we're living in, unfortunately, in our culture, and again, it's been in every culture, there has always been the leaven of the Pharisees. There's funny doctrines and funny teachings that have snuck into the faith. And it was in Jesus' time, and Jesus warns about false prophets and false teachers. And I think that we've got to be aware of that also today, that we learn to know the Word of God. This is why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be, that you know the Word of God, that you can rightly divide and know what is taught in the Word of God. So I think as men and women of God, one of the things that we have got to do is we've got to be aware that not everything that says, Lord, Lord, is of the Lord. And not everything that says, this is God's Word, is God's Word. So I believe that one of the things I hear the Spirit saying is, know what the Bible says. Amen. Know what is in the Word of God. Get into the Word and get the Word into you. Know the God of the Word and know the Word of the living God. Because there are things that are very deceiving and deceptive that are creeping into Christianity. We are really basically beginning to see a division of Christianity where one is going this way and another is going that way. And there's a lot of funny stuff that's coming in between. We had one of our services a couple years ago. I was preaching, I'm even not as sure what I was preaching about, but somewhere in the message I came across and I saw I was talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that, you know, we serve a living God. He was the God of not only of the heavens, but he's the God of the earth, and he was the God of Israel. And we had a guy that was and his wife that were visiting that morning. And when I said he was the God of Israel, and I didn't get any further than that, he jumps out in the middle aisle and starts screaming at the top of his voice and says, the God that we serve is the God of Abraham. He's the God of Muhammad. He's the God of the Jews. He's the God of the Christians. It don't matter what you call his name. He's the same God. We all serve the same God. And he was ranting for about a minute. And I just stood there and let him vent for about a minute. While he was venting, his wife gets up, goes around the back and out the back door. After about a minute of ranting and raging, he's standing in the middle aisle and he's just going crazy. And so then it took a minute. I watched the clock in the back and he runs out the back door. And one of my guys kind of followed him down the hallway and out to the parking lot and kind of watched because he was afraid he'd go out and get a gun and come back in. So he followed them there to watch the door. But you know, the funny thing is, the guy, we had taken up the offering, the guy put a $100 check with his name and address in the offering. So I says, man, oh man. You know, he got his shot for $100, but at any rate. But you know, you got to know the Word of God. Because we don't all serve the same God. I tell you what, I mean, he said, you can call him Muhammad, you can call him Jehovah, you can call him Jesus, you can call him Buddha. You know, he goes through the whole list. says, I believe there are deceptive things that are creeping, that we need to know what we believe. And we need to know the truth, because it's truth that sets people free. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen? All right, this is where we want to go. And we'll try to get there quickly. Hallelujah. I just like to read Scripture and say, God, what are you saying? And so, you know, in the first part, I say, you know what? I believe we need to be aware of the hour we're living in. Number two, I think we need to be aware of some of the things that's happening in Christianity, and not everything that says Christian is Christian, that we need to learn to divide between the wheat and the tares, between the truth and between error. All right, let's start with verse 13. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom do you say that I am? And I think that's important. Who do you say he is? Amen? We're not going to stop there. We're going to keep going. Whom do you say I am? And Peter, Simon Peter answered and said unto him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you bind, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, fortunately, the church was not built on Peter. It was built on the rock. That rock is Christ Jesus. Amen? It wasn't even the revelation. It was Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the author and the finisher of all that we do. I'd like to just, for the next little bit, dwell on the fact that Jesus said, I will build my church. The church is being built by the author. It's being built by the God of the ages, the eternal God who was and is and ever will be manifested in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus who is the head of the church. It is Jesus who is the author and the finisher. He said, I am the one who was, I am, and I shall evermore be. And upon him, the Christian faith is built. He said, I will build my church. And one of the things we have got to get into our head as men and women of God is the church is not our church. It's not our kingdom, it's his kingdom. It's not our work, it's his work. And we are not in for our survival, we are in to win the lost and the dying. We are here to do the work of Jesus Christ that started with him, and we are here to continue. So anytime we begin to take the glory for what God is doing, we become into trouble. And so it is not our church, our kingdom, our place, our gift, our talent, because everything that we have comes from him. We are only the vessel that takes and is has been given as a steward of what he has given us. We become a steward of that. And the trouble comes when we begin to say our. Because Jesus has said, I'm building a church. Now, I think we all understand that a church is not a building. A church is not a denomination, an affiliation, a religion. It's not a business with a cross on top. The church is people. The church is people. When he said, I will build my church, he said, I'm building people. I'm building people. That's what the gospel is all about. It's not, listen, let me just get into that. I believe if our work is going to survive, and if God's church is going to survive, we and God got to work together. We come labors together with God. And we've got to be sensitive to the Word of God and the Spirit of God and let God move and motivate and direct us and follow the cloud. Amen? So one of the works of God is building the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And let's find it unique how God builds his church. I don't want to get into that. That's a different subject in a different area. But one of the things I find in the building of the church, as we have come into our culture today, is that many times we have put our emphasis of our church on the building. We have put our emphasis of the church on a project or on property. God's emphasis for the church is people. It is not on the building. It's not on a project. It's not on a property. God said, when I will build my church, he didn't say, I will build a building. He didn't say, I will build a project. He didn't say, I will lay out property. I realize we need properties. We need buildings. But you know what? There are times when buildings collapse, and there are times when buildings fall, but you can have a church without a building. Amen. Hallelujah. Back in December the 3rd, 2017, in Detroit, Michigan, the Silver Dome was slated to be blown apart on one Sunday morning at 8:30 on December the 3rd, in 2017. And there was thousands of people that stood out there and they were watching the destruction, so-called destruction of the Silver Dome. And so the professionals had gone in and they had strategically laid charges at the places that should bring the Silver Dome down. At precisely 8:30 in the morning, the siren blew. The guy pushed the button and there was a puff of smoke. The building shuddered, but it didn't fall. It just stood there. They thought they had done hundreds of buildings, but the Silver Dome was built so strongly that when the charges went off, it shuddered, it shook, the smoke flew, but it stayed standing there. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you today that I believe the church. Hallelujah. Regardless, I believe the church. Regardless of liberal theologians, regardless of culture pressure, regardless of attacks on the Bible and attacks on Jesus Christ, regardless of atheistic professors, Jesus said, I will build my church. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you today that our emphasis has got to be on building people, on reaching people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will build my church. I believe the church is like a big old oak tree. It stands and it's strong. Hallelujah. And the little acorns fall off of it. You got these little sprouts, these little sprouts coming up. Over the ages, the church has stood. It has influenced the culture. And now the culture is trying to bring it down. But Jesus said, I will build it. Hallelujah. It's not a building, a denomination, affiliation, or in business with a cross on top. It is people that God's building up. And we need to learn to invest in people. Hallelujah. Amen. Two forces that will really bring a tree down. It's internal rot and outside fire. And I think one of the most dangerous is internal rot. Because that's what's happening in our nation. And that can bring a church down. When you begin to have disunity, when you begin to have discord, gossip, ill feelings and unforgiveness, one of the most dangerous things that can happen. Rome fell not from outward forces. It fell from inward rot. The United States is going the same way. And we got to beware that the church. And there are times we have to deal with things. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Helmut the Licky of Germany writes that he was watching as the Allied forces were attacking Germany. Standing on a hill, he saw his church bombed as half of the city was being wiped out. His house went up in smoke. His church was devastated. And he makes this statement, as I stood on the hill and watched, I said to my wife, I wonder if the church will survive. Because so many people put their emphasis on a building. And if the building is not there, they feel that the church will not exist. And he said, I had to learn that the church is more than my building. I had to learn the church was the people who came in that building to worship Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the 17th century, when the Muslims invaded North Africa, the Christian churches were devastated, and Christianity came to a standstill as far as its development and growth, because they lost their buildings, they lost Christianity. And I said, we cannot tie Christianity to a building. When Jesus said, I will build my church, we've got to learn how to take converts and make disciples, make them strong, instruct them, equip them, mentor them, and activate them, because the church, listen, you as the people, and I told this to my congregation, I said, listen, if our church is known as a strong church, it's because you are strong. If it's known as a weak church, it's because you're weak. If it's known as a spiritual church, it's because we all are spiritual. If it's known as a lukewarm church, it's because we all are lukewarm. Because the church is known by the people, it's not known by the building. Hallelujah. So we need to learn that the emphasis in our generation has got to be on the people. Because when God said, I will build my church, he is building a people that will stand in the last days and will carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation and continent and people, and will be strong in their own life, likelihood. Secondly, I believe that not only should we put our emphasis on people, but we've got to learn to build community instead of looking for crowds. We've got to learn to build community instead of looking for crowds. Let me say this. Crowds will come and crowds will go. But community is where you learn to love each other. You learn to help each other. You learn to pray for each other. You learn to stand with each other in the good times and in the bad times. You learn to encourage each other. You learn to pray with each other. You learn to visit each other. You learn to call each other. You're with each other, and you're building something that will stand when the crowds come and when the crowds go. That will happen depending on the music, on the preaching, on the place that you're meeting in. But when you build community, it will stand regardless of what happens. Hallelujah. Because people love each other. Because they care for each other. Because they build up each other. That community is so essential. Hallelujah. Amen. We look for the crowds. I believe the church needs community. It needs that love, that unity, and that connectivity to where we will stand. Amen. Hallelujah. The third thing I see that is going to work, that's going to cause our churches to stand in the times of trouble, is not only the emphasis on people and the emphasis on community, but it's the learning that we need to train instead of just talking and preaching. It's got to be more than preaching. Preaching is essential, but there's a difference between preaching and training. Training is where you actually take the person, you take the convert, and you begin to equip them. You begin to impart to them. You begin to show them how to do it. You begin to stand with them when they're doing it. And then you turn them loose and say, now you do it. Hallelujah. I believe that we have spent too much time in programs where we put information into people's heads. We need something that will bring transformation in their lives. And that's through the training. And so I believe that we've got to see the church today not only preach the word, but train people how to walk out, as our brother was saying this morning, how to walk it out in their life. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, you see, we take people and we need, this is what apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for, to equip. To equip the saints so that the saints may do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry should not be expected to do right here behind the pulpit. But it's the job of the fivefold ministry to equip all the people. And in the church, there should be nobody that is overworked, and there should be nobody that is not doing anything. Ephesians chapter 4 says, every joint supplies and every part does its share for the building and the edification of the body of Christ. That word, every part, is people. Every joint is people. And people need to learn how to be activated and how to be equipped, because it is people that's going to build the church. It's people that's going to exercise community. It's people that's going to know that our God and the people are what God's looking for. Amen? So we've got to learn how to, and one of the things, if you're going to train, you need mentors. You need people who say, follow me as I follow Christ. Let me help you. Let me spend some time with you. Because when you mentor, it takes time. It takes sacrifice. It takes some impartation and loving. And say, I don't have time for that. But that's what you know. You know, Jesus mentored all those 12 people. He taught them, he trained them, he equipped them. And when he left, and even before he left, he sent them. Why? Because he wanted to see how he done. The sermon I preached last night start with, he had sent them out. And when they came back, and then John was beheaded, he said, hey, you guys have had a hard time of ministry. John the Baptist, we need some time apart. But he had mentored those guys for three and a half years. They were with him day and night. And sometimes when we're training people, it's not just 1 hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours on Sunday morning. It's a 24-hour day job. Amen, brother? It takes time. It takes sacrifice. But that's what's necessary if you're going to have people who grow up. Amen? You see, discipleship is not just information, it's investment, it's sacrifice, it's friendship, it's being together, it's developing. And so we learn how to walk together as disciples, amen, and build disciples. Amen?